Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have brought us to this place. Thank you for life. Thank you for new life in Christ. We praise you that your hand is upon us. You are with us every moment of every day. You live within us as believers. Your spirit is present within. We praise you for Jesus and his sacrifice on Calvary's cross, where he gave his life, shed his blood to pay the price for our sins, that we could be set free. We could be delivered from the penalty of sin, be given strength against its power by your Holy Spirit each day, and one day soon to be rid of its presence forever. What a glorious day that will be when we are no longer dealing with sin and that battle is finished and we're with our Savior forever. Father, you are a great and glorious God. You love us beyond our comprehension. It's just incredible all that you are, all that you have done, and all that we have in our Savior. And we thank you that we have the privilege to be gathered here today. Thank you for each believer, each heart, each person who is not a believer who might be here today. We thank you for who you have brought into our service today. And we pray that in this hour, your name will be glorified, Christ will be lifted high. Each of us will receive what your Spirit has for us, whatever it is that we need today. We pray that we would receive that with joy from your hand. If there is any here today who don't yet know Jesus, we pray that they would understand what he did for them and that they would open their hearts to him. Father, we commit the hour to you. Bless Pastor as he brings the word in just a few minutes. Bless each of us as we worship together, as we pray together. May all bring honor and glory to your name and please your heart as we worship you today. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And let's continue.
I'm going to read from Acts chapter 17. We're going through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in to them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ. And some of them believed, consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. I got a call last night from Linda Kennedy. She said that her Kathy Nichols is in the hospital. She had high blood pressure and nausea and that kind of thing. So they put her in the hospital. She's in room 270 at Phoenixville. And just pray for Kathy. She's had her blood pressure has gotten back down to normal again. So just keep her in your prayers during this time. Okay, let's have a word of prayer together. Gathered together in your house on this Lord's Day, and we rejoice in all the goodness that we see around us, Lord, of your people. We just thank you for those who know and love you, who are seeking to serve you. We pray your blessings upon our church and upon all those who are preaching the gospel. We just thank you for each and every one. We do want to pray especially for our sister Kathy Nichols this morning as she's in the hospital. We pray that you will just restore her to good health so that she'll soon be back with us again and back home. We just thank you for so much for her and her faithfulness to you, and pray your richest blessings upon her and her family. We do pray, our Father, too, for our nation as we think about all that is happening around us, so much confusion. And we just pray, dear Lord, that your will would be done. We certainly hope and pray that this COVID virus will go away. I don't know how else to put it. We just pray that it will disappear, just leave us. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us, that we might look to you for every need that we have. Forgive us of our sins, our Father. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we want to repent of anything that we've done that is wrong in your sight. And we pray for our nation. Our Father, we know that there's so much ungodliness in this nation, and yet we believe it's the best on earth. We just pray that you'll restore us, our Father. May we acknowledge you and who you are. Walk in the way of righteousness and truth. Lord, we ask you to guide and help us. Be with our leaders, give them wisdom and understanding, and help them to truly do the right thing for our nation. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness to us today. We pray for our missionaries. Thank you for the work that they're doing in various places around the world. Think of the Owens this morning especially, and the ministry that you've given to them. And just thank you, Lord, that they have been able to train many of these Argentine people to go out and establish churches and Bible studies and reaching their loved ones and friends. And just thank you, Lord, for each one. We think of this man who's asked for a Bible. We pray that you'll give Joe and his wife the ability to speak to them in such a way that that he will come to know you in a personal way. Thank you so much, Lord, for all of our missionaries, and we just thank you for the opportunity we have to help them, to serve through them, our Father, in various places. We do pray for this church picnic that's coming up soon, 2 weeks. We just pray that it might be a good time of fellowship and that you'll help us in all that we do, that we'll be pleasing in your sight. Thank you so much for all your grace and love to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 17. We're seeing here this morning how various ones respond to the Word of God. And Paul and his company are traveling on their second missionary journey. We've seen the wonderful work that God did through these servants at Philippi in preaching the gospel, bringing people to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and setting up a group of believers there to form a church. Now we're going to move with them down the Via Ignatia. This is the main road going towards Rome, to this next mission station, which is the city of Thessalonica. And it's about 100 miles away. You know, when you're reading through the book of Acts, it seems like it's, you know, very close. You know, you just go from one place to another. But it's a 100-mile trip. And they were on foot, you know, I suppose. I don't think they had any other way of getting there. 100-mile trip. You know, that's quite a little distance, isn't it? So we want to notice especially the reaction of the people to the preaching of God's word to see how we should receive God's word ourselves. When you hear God's word presented or when you read it yourself, what's your reaction? Well, we see here it can be several different things. First of all, we find Paul going to Thessalonica. Notice, I was reading about that this morning. I was wondering about Luke. You remember, Luke had joined them and gone to Philippi, but now apparently he stayed there, perhaps to help out with the church. And now Paul and Silas and Timothy are going on up to Thessalonica. And notice what it says. They pass by these other two places. How do you say that? Boy, I thought I had that. Through Amphipolis, that's it. Amphipolis and Apollonia. Okay, these two cities, they were about 30 miles apart from each other. And so he went on past these, and he goes to Thessalonica. It says, where was the synagogue of the Jews? And again, we see that this was the main way Paul began his ministry in a particular place. He would go where he had a ready-made congregation to the local synagogue and began the work there. So here we find that there were many Jews there, and Paul started preaching in the synagogue, as his policy usually was. And he went to the synagogue, it says, on three successive Sabbath days. So for 3 weeks, he went and preached, spoke in the synagogue, giving forth the gospel. Notice it tells us what he preached. He preached according to the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Now you know the Jews had been looking forward to the Messiah coming down through the centuries, and over especially in the book of Isaiah, where it speaks there about the servant of the Lord who is coming, describing what happened to him, and there in especially the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where it gives the description of the crucifixion long before it was ever put into practice, right? And here Isaiah describes that, how God provided salvation for those who would receive Christ as their Savior and Redeemer. Also in Psalm 22, where it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All of these scriptures, no doubt, Paul brought. You know, at this time, of course, the New Testament had not yet been written, right? They had some portions of it, perhaps, but Paul was the one who wrote most of it. So what he's preaching from has to be the Old Testament, you know? And many times, as we read through the Old Testament, we don't see all of this, and yet he's explaining this to us, and especially these portions that have to do with the gospel. In opening and alleging these things, making it clear to the people, I was going to look back at Luke chapter 24 for a minute. Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. Here we find Jesus explaining this to the two men on the road to Emmaus, you remember, after the resurrection, where they were sad because Jesus had died on the cross. They thought this was the end, everything's over. And so this man comes along and joins with them and starts talking to them, and he says, you know, why are you so sad? Huh? And he comes on down to verse 25. He says, then he said to them, O fools, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, there it is. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here, Jesus is explaining to these men, or these people, it could have been a man and a woman, couldn't it? Right? Anyhow, here we find he's explaining to them these things. He started with Moses and then all the other prophets, the scriptures, explaining all that happened to him. Verse 32, it says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" You see, this was their reaction to hearing the word of God, wasn't it? They felt this warmness, this burning within them, wondering, what is this? Down to verse 45. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." So here we find the Lord Jesus opening up the Old Testament scriptures to these believers, to these disciples, and then sending them forth with the message. And this is the same method that Paul was using at Thessalonica, opening up the scriptures to these people that they might understand, that they might receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, the one who died for them, the one who rose again from the dead, and the one who is the long-awaited Messiah and King of Israel. So we find here he's explaining this to them. And what happened as a result of their hearing the gospel, their reaction? It says in verse 4, some of them believed. Okay? Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. They wanted to go and be with them. They wanted to learn more. But they received the message, they believed what was said, and trusted in Christ as their Savior. And it says also, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So there was quite a group of these people that received the word. Some of the Jews believed, some of the devout Greeks, and many of the women that heard the gospel presented. And that was the reaction of some, right? But then you notice verse 5, we see the opposite, don't we? "But the Jews who believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain," I love this expression, you know, in the King James, "lewd fellows of the baser sort." That's the scum of the earth, right? The lowest that you can get, these people that are willing to do anything for a few bucks, you know, and no scruples whatsoever. They take them, and they gathered a company together and set all the city in an uproar. And God, they arrived at the house of Jason. This is one of the local believers. And sought to bring them out to the people. They're looking for the missionaries. They want to reach them and bring them to trial because they didn't agree with what they had to say. So this is the opposite effect, right? Some believed, some did not believe. This is the division among the people. And so they are provoked to envy and jealousy. Doesn't that sound like what happened to the Lord Jesus? You remember, think back to the Gospels and how that they accused him of stirring up trouble, and they were envious of him. It said that in Luke 23, verse 2, just I wanted to read this verse. Let's see. Well, let's read verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." You see? Here we have that they were envious. It says Pilate, he knew that they had delivered him to them because they were envious of him. They saw that he was getting a better response than they were, and they were provoked by that, by jealousy. And instead of receiving the message, they rejected it totally, completely, right? And this is still happening today, of course, as we know in many places. People either believe and receive the gospel, or they think, oh, it's nothing to that. That's ludicrous. How could he possibly do anything for me? You know? So they organized this riot and resorted to violence. They go down and they grab this believer, Jason, and take him and bring him out to the rulers of the city, saying, notice what they said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come here too." Wow. Turned the world upside down. That's pretty powerful. You know, words are important. I think Rush Limbaugh used to say that. Yeah, words are important. And here we find that that's all they had done. What had Paul done? He hadn't abused anybody. He hadn't committed any crimes. All he had done was preach the gospel, right? And yet here they say, these guys have turned the world upside down. Well, you know, I think our world today probably needs to be turned back up the other way again. What do you think? Huh? We need the Word of God, and to realize that around the world that this is the reaction that people get. They either receive or they reject. Or some of them hesitate. They're waiting, you know. And we'll see that again when Paul gets to Athens. Those people hesitated. But anyway, we find here that Jason was the one that had hosted the missionaries, and so they drag him out to the court, and but they can't find Paul and Silas. So they take him and mistreat him. And they said, you know, this he has helped these men that have come to destroy our way of living. So we find here the believers then send Paul and Silas away. Down to verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. So here we find the, instead of staying there and causing a lot of trouble, they decide that the best thing to do is to move on somewhere else, perhaps come back later, which is what they really actually do. So we find here the results of this ministry in Thessalonica over in the epistle that Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." It was not useless. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So we see Paul describing what he went through at Thessalonica. It was not all peaches and cream by any means. He had his problems with the unbelievers, and yet he's rejoicing in those who have received the gospel of Christ, who have been saved, and who are serving the Lord faithfully. Look at verse 13 ahead also. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see? He says you accepted it not as the word of men. You didn't just take it as some story I was telling, but you received it as the very word of God, which it is. And God did all the work in your heart, bringing you to faith and trust in Him and to true salvation in Christ Jesus. So that's the work at Thessalonica. And now Paul is moving on because of the persecution to the city of Berea. And again, Berea is about 50 or 60 miles away from Thessalonica. Was it Thessalonica? Yes, Thessalonica, sorry. And they're moving on down here to that. The brethren sent them away. They didn't want any more trouble. They wanted to help them to go on their ministry. And so they go there to Berea, and once again, they went into the synagogue of the Jews, you see. So they're taking advantage of the opportunities that they have to reach as many people as they can. You see, this is the way that he operated there. And so Berea, they say, was more of out-of-the-way place. Thessalonica was right on the main road going up to Rome. But Berea was a little bit off the track and inland from the sea, more of a peaceful, easygoing type of people there. Lifestyle was easy. And so they go into the synagogue and they begin their work reaching these people at Berea. And notice what it says about them in verse 11. The people of Berea, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we find these people were ready to listen and to see whether it was really true or not, and they received the word of God and studied it together. So this is their reaction. It says they were more noble, fair-minded, but were not so bigoted, you know. The other unbelieving Jews at Thessalonica refused to receive the word. They didn't consider it. It doesn't say anything about them studying the scriptures. They just refused and rejected the message. But here at Berea, it says that they were willing to listen. And that's a good starting place, isn't it? To be willing to listen. They received the word. They searched the scriptures daily. Now, in the synagogue, they only met on Saturday, right? Sabbath day. But these people, apparently when they went home, they got out their scrolls or whatever they had at that time, the scriptures, and they studied daily that they might understand what the preacher was saying. And to see if Paul was preaching the truth, they were checking up on him, which is a good idea. And the result, it tells us here in verse 12, therefore, many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So here we have a good reaction. Many of these people received the word of God. They studied it together. They realized that he was telling the truth. And they accepted the message as from God. And so there was a number of them, both among the Jewish people and the Greek people, a number of honorable women who received God's word and were saved. So that's the good part, right? Here at Berea. Now notice verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You see? Here. And they couldn't stand the fact that the word of God was going forth in power, and so they come there to cause trouble. And they stirred up the people, causing a riot like they had done at Thessalonica. So they weren't content to just stay where they were. They wanted to cause trouble in other places. These are the same ones. They went around trying to have their own way. You know, this is something I was thinking about. Paul, before he was converted, you remember? He was one of the instigators at the stoning of Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, he was there holding the coats for those that stoned him. And then after that began the persecution against the believers. And he went to different cities. So here and now we find these people doing the same kind of thing. So no doubt these were zealous people that believed what they had been taught and refused to accept this new message. So, in that sense, maybe they were being honorable in what they believed, but at the same time, we find that they are going against what God had planned. And so this is the problem. And here we find, once again, it says in verse 14, then immediately the brethren, the ones who had received the gospel, sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timothy abode there still. So here we have these three men working together, doing this work. And now Paul, being the leader, is sent away so that things will quiet down, right? And he goes on to Athens. And we'll see what happens in Athens next week, I guess. That was one of the main cities of the whole nation, you remember? Athens, of course, is the capital now of Greece. And we'll see what happens there when they hear what he has to say. And again, Paul used a little different method in reaching those people. But we'll see that a little later. So whenever God's word is preached, each person has to make a decision, either to believe it and to obey what it says, or to reject it and oppose the truth it teaches, right? That's the only two choices that we really have. Of course, you can hesitate. You can wait, listen, and all of that. But eventually, you have to make a choice. Either you receive it or you reject it. And some actively oppose it, as we've seen here, the riots today over like in India and different places. Some of the fanatical people oppose the Christians and burn their churches and all of that. And other around the world, so much persecution. And so, to receive the word, that's what we need to do. And if we believe God's word, then we should spread it abroad to others as well, that they might also understand. Just like the early Christians did. Jesus said, "You are my witnesses." And so we are to take the word of God to those around us where we have the opportunity. Our Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. And Lord, we do receive it. We receive your word into our hearts. We know that Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. He arose again the third day. He went back to heaven. He's interceding for us now. And someday he's coming again. And we're looking forward to that. We are rejoicing in knowing that you are with us to help us in our everyday life. Help us, Lord, to study your word daily and to understand what it says and to put it into practice in our lives. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.